Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tomid Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the fourth perek of Maseches Tamid, you will notice that there is no Gemara on this perek until you reach Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, about a third of the way from the top. The entire perek of Mishnayos is presented beforehand. Hence, you will notice that there is a minimum of markings until we get to the Gemara itself. So we now begin the perek, which is found at the beginning of this perek. The fourth perek is found at the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Beis. This perek will deal with the processing of the Tumid Shel Shachar. Up till now, we have seen what happens in the Beis HaMikdash in the wee hours of the morning with regard to the Deshen of the Mizbeach and the ash of the Mizbeach and the ashes of the Menorah and Mizbeach Hazohov. So continuing now, and as we said, turning our attention to the Tumid Shel Shachar, the Mishnah says, Lo hoyu kufsin es hatoleh. They didn't tie together all four legs of the sheep that serves as the Tomid Shel Shachar. Elo me'akdin oso. Rather, the method of arresting the animal was by tying together the front and hind legs, the front and hind right side, and separately the front and hind left side legs together. That's what me'aktin oso. That expression me'aktin reminds you of the term akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak when Avram took him to the akedas Yitzchak, we'll call the attempted slaughter. The Mishnah continues, mi shezochu bo'evorim ochazin bo. We had learned that there was a pious done, a method of choosing who would do what. So there was a group of kohanim that were chosen to carry the Avorim, the limbs of this Korban Tomid Shel Shachar, to the Mizbeach. So those who were Zoche in the Avorim, Ochazin Bo, they would hold the Keves, hold this sheep at the time of its slaughter. V'kach hoiso akidoso. And thus was the bringing of the Tomid Shel Shachar, or the positioning would be more accurate to say, the positioning of the Tomid Shel Shachar in anticipation of its slaughter. We should remind you that we have a general diagram of the Beis HaMikdash layout at the beginning of this Masechta, that which accompanied Daf Chof Hei, so feel free to make reference to that in order to give you a greater perspective on things. So right now, we have to position ourselves to the north of the Mizbeach. The ramp and Mizbeach themselves ran from a south to north direction. The Heichal was positioned west of the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah tells us, Roshoi Ladorom, the head of the animal was facing southerly. In other words, the head was facing the Mizbeach, Uponov Lemarov, and the animal's head was twisted in such a way to a 90 degree angle so that it was facing, the face of the animal was opposite the Heichal, so that the animal was brought in, let's say, positioned in a north-south direction, and its head turned toward the Heichal. Hashochid Omeid Bamizrach, and the one who would slaughter it would be standing east of the animal, so that you have the slaughterer also facing the heichal, but he's behind the animal, to the east of the animal. Uponov lemarov, and as we said, the slaughterer's, the shoychet's face was facing west. He was facing the heichal, so you can see that the animal was facing the heichal and the slaughterer as well. Shel shachar hoya nishchot al keren tzvoinis marovis al tabas shnia. You'll notice that we have a brief diagram of this setup. To the north of the Mizbeach, there were a series of rings that into which the animal's head would be, different animals, different korbanos, their head or neck could be inserted. Each ring is positioned, and this Mishnah is telling us that the Shel Shachar, the Tomid Shel Shachar's neck was placed in the ring that's called Keren Tzvoinis Marovis. We're dealing with the northwestern area of rings, Al Tabas Shnia. Now, according to our diagram, you would see it at the second row with number 2 Aleph. If you can see that on our diagram, this is where the animal's head was positioned. 2 Aleph. Shelbein Harbayim, the Tomid Shelbein Harbayim, Hoyo Nishchon Al Keren Mizroches Tzvoinis Al Tabas Shnia. That would be at the south, at the northeastern ring, called in our diagram 2 Dalid. So that at that point in 2 Dalid, you're at a northeastern location. It might be noted that when we speak about north, we're dealing at a point in the Azorah that we are north of the Mizbeach. So that the terms north, east, and northwest are relative to the Mizbeach. Northeastern corner of the Mizbeach and northwestern corner of the Mizbeach. But as you noticed on our diagram, we're one row set in off of the Mizbeach, one row of rings, the second row of rings as per our diagram. The Mishnah continues, Shochat HaShochet, the slaughterer did his act of slaughtering, V'kibel HaMakabel, the receiver of the blood received the blood, Balo LeKeren Mizroches Tzvoinis, he then brought the blood to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, V'nosein Mizrochot Tzvona, there would be a splashing of the blood, if you will, or application of the blood on the northeastern corner, and when that happened, the blood would spread to the eastern side and northern side, because he was at the corner. And that's what Venosei Mizrocha Tzafona is a reference to. Tzafona, north, and Mizrocha, east. Marovis Dromis, he would then approach the southwestern corner, Venosei Marova Daroma. And the Zrika Saddam there would also spread to the southern side and western side of the Mizbeach. These two blood applications were actually diagonally positioned one from the other. You have northeast and southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. After the blood application to the Mizbeach, Shiore Hadom, the remnant of blood, Hoya Shofech al Yesoid Dromi, was then poured onto the southern side of the Mizbeach, at the base of the Mizbeach, which is known as the Yesod. Yesod is the base, Dromi, the southern side base. At this point, we now turn to Daf Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph. Lo hoya shover boy esoregel. Regarding the Tomid Shel Shachar, when he was about to skin the animal, and animals were skinned while they were suspended, making it easier to work with them. So that when he would start the skinning of the animal, he wouldn't break the leg of the animal, which was a characteristic way of dealing with animals when being skinned. However, he made a hole in the animal's knee area. That's what the Mishnah says. Ela noikvo, noikvo is to make a hole. Mitoch arkuvo, the animal's knee, the joint. We're talking about the hind leg right now. Vitoilebo, and the animal was suspended that way. In other words, through the hook. It was suspended through this hole and it, while attached to the hook on the little pillar arrangements that we had learned about in an earlier perek. Hoyomachshit viyore, he would do the remove the skin of the animal, and bearing in mind, once again, we're dealing with from the hind section of the animal with the head facing down toward the ground, facing downwards, so he would continue the skinning. That's mafshit viyored ad shehu magia lechozeh, until he would reach the breast area of the animal. Higia lechozeh, when he reached the breast area, so the skin was peeled away from the animal's body, but it was still attached to the animal. And at that point, the animal's head was removed. That's chotach es harosh. The animal's head was removed. Unesono lemisha zochabo, and it was then given to the kohen who won that position in the pious, in the choosing of the different functionaries. So there was the one who merited or won that right to carry the head to the mizbeach. So it was given to him. Chotach es akroayim unisanon lemi shezocha bohen. The akroayim, which is the legs, the lower section of the legs, was given to the one who was zoche in that, who merited carry, who received the rights to carry that, to carry them, the legs. And as we said before, we're talking about the legs, the from a lower joint of the leg downward. Merek es hahefshin. Merek means he finished the skinning from the, as we mentioned, from the breast area continuing downwards. He finished that. Kora es halev v'hotzi es domo. There is a bit of a discussion amongst the Meforshim as to what exactly is referred to here. The bearing in mind the animal hasn't been opened up yet, and yet we're talking about the tearing open of its heart and the removal of the blood. So we'll leave that detail aside for those who are interested in further analysis of this. But the translation for the meantime is, after the skinning, the Mishnah says he tore open the heart and removed its blood. There, one of the Mefarshim suggests that he actually reached into the animal's interior in order to do this. Chotach es hayodayim unesonam lemi shezocha bohen. The front legs were removed, and we're dealing with the front legs, the part of the leg from till its connection to the body. So they were removed and given to the one who was zoche in that. Ola l'regel hayimonis chatocha. Before we made reference to the removal of the kriyim, which were the lower part of the legs, but the upper part of the legs remained attached to the body. At this point, he now goes to the right hand side, the right hind leg, and that's the reg. Ola l'regel hayimonis chatocha. He cut it unisano l'mi shezochabo and gave it to the one who received that role in carrying. Ushtei beitzim imo, and the two testicles along with it. Kro'o, he now opened up the animal's belly, v'nimtza kulo golui lefonav, and it's all facing him. The entire interior of the animal is now open in front of him. Notal es hapoder unesonoi al beis Shchitas Horosh Milamalon. The poder was a flap of chelev. It seems to be a sheet-like portion of the inner fats, and that was given to the person who was carrying the head, and it was spread over the what's called the Beis HaShchitas, the part of the neck of an animal when it's at the point that it's severed, it's cut open. So this was used to cover the open part of the animal's neck. Right now we're talking about him holding the head, so it's the neck part of the animal that's open, and this was used to cover it, which was an act of honor, if you will. The being an open neck with all of the blood and tubes hanging out is something that's not very pleasant, and hence this pudor was used to cover it. And that's what the Mishnah says when it refers to the Nosnoi al Beis Shita Sarosh Milamalon. Notal es hakrovayim, the innards were removed. Unesonim lemi shezocha bohen lahadichon, and they were given to the one who was zocha in them to rinse them, to wash them off. Valkores medichin oiso beveis medichin kol sorcha. The kores is the stomach of the animal, which had a lot of waste in it at this point, churned food, and it was washed out in the Beis HaMedichin. Is a Lishkas HaMedichin, an office in which things were to be rinsed off, that was in the southern part of the Azor, the courtyard, to the east of the Shar HaMayim. If we make references to places, you can refer back to the diagram in order to appreciate this all the more. V'akrovayim madichin oson shloisha pe'omim b'mi'uta. The mi'uta means minimally. The krovayim were the innards, very likely the intestines, all that which was part of the digestive system, which had a lot of waste in it, so it had to be rinsed off a minimum of three times. Al shulchanos shel shayish shebein hamudim. This is a reference to the tables that were made of marble that were found amongst the amudim that were in the Beis HaMitbachayim. We had learned about this in the third perek, in the slaughter area. Besides the pillars with the wooden blocks and hooks attached to them, there were also marble tables. So the Mishnah is telling us that the krovayim were rinsed off over there. Notal es hasakin vehifrish es horea min hakoved. He then took a knife and removed the lung from the liver. He separated the lung from the liver. The etzba hakoved min hakoved. The etzba hakoved is a little extension coming off of the liver. It's part of the liver, an extension of the liver. It too was severed from the liver. The lohoya meziza mimakoma, and the etzba hakoved was not removed from the cavity of the animal. It was left there. It would be offered together with the with another one of the organs. Nokav es hechoze unesonoi lemi shezocha bo. The breast of the animal was cut away from the animal's body, removing it from the walls of the animal and the ribs. So this was now, this choze, the breast, was then presumed and given to the one who merited carrying that to the Mizbeach. Ola l'doifin hayamonis. He now approached the right-hand body wall of the animal. Hoya chotech v'yored ad hashidra, v'lo hoya nogea b'shidra. He cut away until he got to the spine, but didn't touch the spine, leaving the spine totally intact, attached to the left wall of the animal. And so he's now cutting away the doifen yamonis, the right-hand side of the animal body wall, until he got to the spine, as we said. Achu magia l'shtei tzlo'os rakos, until he got to the point that there are two small ribs. These two small ribs are called tzlo'os rakos. They are near the neck, and also near the tail. There are also two small ribs near the tail, and they were left attached to the animal. So the Mishnah continues and says, Chatocha unisona lemisha zochaba. This, the dofen hayamonis, was now cut away, still attached to the left hand side was the spine, and he left these two small ribs also attached, leaving that with the rest of the animal. In the meantime, cutting away the right hand dofen and giving it to the one who was zochanat, vakoved tluya ba. The liver is attached to this dofen, to this side. Bolo lagera. He now approaches the neck of the animal. Viniach bo shteitzlos mikan ushteitzlos mikan. There was left, we mentioned, two ribs on one end and two ribs on the other end. These are the two ribs that we just referred to before. Chatocha, he cut away now the gera with those ribs. Unasana lemi shezochaba. Vahakone vahale vorea tluyin ba. The trachea, the heart, and the rea, the lungs, are attached to this, to the neck. Continuing, bo lo ledofen hasmolas. He now approaches the left-hand side of the animal. Vehiniach bo shtei tzlos rakos milamalon ushtei tzlos rakos milamaton. Vekach hoya maniach bachaverta. The term vehiniach bo means he didn't cut them away together with the doifen hasmolis, so that you have these two ribs, upper ribs and uppermost ribs, and two lowermost ribs that remained apart, we'll say, from the doifen hasmolis. This reference to the kachoy minich b'cheverta means similarly to the way he had left with regard to the right side, and we had mentioned that before. Nimso maniach b'shtehem, the result of this rib attention is shtayim shtayim milamalon. There had been two small ribs above, and ushtayim shtayim milamaton. Chatocha, he now cut away the doifen hasmolis, the left hand wall of the animal. Unesona lemisha zochaba, the hashidra ima. And together with the left-hand wall of the animal was the spine. Vatchol toluy ba, and the tol organ, sometimes translated as the spleen, was attached to this. Vehi hoisa gedoyla. This was a physically larger amount to carry, because in addition to the left-hand side, there was also the spine attached to it. However, Elo shel yomin kirin gedoyla shakoved tluya ba, but they refer to the right hand doifen as the gedola, as the larger one, because the liver was attached to it. Ba lo la oikets, he now approaches the tail, chotcho, cuts it off, unesono lemi shezochabo, and gives it to the one who was who merited that. The oketz is a reference to the hind, the posterior or the hind section of the animal. Ve'ho'alya ve'etzba koved ushtei kloyos imo. Together with that was the alya, is the fat tail of the sheep, and the etzba ha'koved, we mentioned that little protrusion from the liver, we mentioned it earlier, and the two kloyos, often translated as the kidneys, together with this. So the one who was zoicha in the who was chosen for the oikets, he carried it together with the alya etzba kovid and the shtei kloyos. Notal regel hasmolis, he then took the hind left leg, unisona lemi shezocha ba, and gave it to the one who was chosen for that. Nimtzu kulan oimdim bashura vayivorim biyadam. And it turns out that they're now all standing in a row with their respective organs and limbs in their arms. We now continue to Amud Beis. Harishon, the line of people are described now. The first one, Barosh Uberegel. He was holding the head and the leg. Harosh Biamino, the head in his right arm. The Chotmoy Klapezro, and the nose or the snout of the animal was facing his arm. The Karnov Bein Esposov, and the animal's horns were between his fingers. Ubeish Shitosu Milamalon, and the neck of the animal facing upwards. Vapeder Nosun Oleho, and the peder we mentioned before was a sheet of fat was spread over it, as we described earlier. Voregel shel yamin b'smolo, and the animal's hind right leg was in the Kohen's left arm. Ubeis ora lachutz. The beis ora is the outer side of the leg, from the point from which the skinning started. That was facing outwards, with the cut part facing inwards as he was holding it. Hasheni, the second kayin in this lineup, Bishte Yodayim, he had the two front legs of the animal. Shel Yomin Biyamino, the right hand, the right side leg, the front leg of the animal in the Kohen's right arm. Shel Smoil B'Smoilo, and the left in the Kohen's left arm. Ubeis Ora Lachutz. And the beis ora, the point from which it was skinned, was facing outwards. Hashlishi, the third kayin, ba'oiketz uberegel. He was holding the hind of the posterior of the animal, and the back left leg. Ha'oiketz b'imino, the hind section was in his right arm. Va'alya midulteles bein etzbosav, and the fat tail was dangling from between his fingers. The etzba kovei d'shteya kloyosimo, together with the liver extension and the two kidneys. Horegel shel smoil b'smolo, and the left hind leg was in the Kohen's left arm. Ubeis ora lachutz, and the point at which the skinning took place, the skinning was started, was facing outwards. Horavi, the fourth Kohen, b'choze uvagera, held the breast and the neck. Hechoze b'imino, the breast in his right arm. Vagero b'smolo, and the neck section in his left arm. V'tzalosel bein etzbaosov, and the ribs that were referred to earlier were between his fingers. Hachamishi, the fifth kohen, b'shtei defonos, was holding the two walls or sides of the animal. Shel yamin b'yamino, the right hand side of the animal in the Kohen's right arm. V'shel smol b'smolo, and the left in the Kohen's left. Ubeis ora lachutz. Hashishi, the sixth Kohen, b'kravayim hanesunim babozoch. The sixth Kohen, the Krivim were the innards, the inner organs, were in a bozoch. Bozoch is a receptacle. They were in a type of bowl. Ukraim al gabayim ilamala, and the kraim, which were the lower part of the animal's legs, were positioned above them. Ashmi, the seventh Kohen, basoles, he carried the accompanying meal offering, the flour that constituted the meal offering brought together with the Tomet Shel Shachar. Hashmini, the eighth Kohen, Bachavitin. The Chavitin were the baked meal offering of the Kohen Gadol offered on a daily basis. So the eighth Kohen would be carrying the Chavitin. Hachi Bayayin, and the ninth Kohen was carrying the wine, which also accompanied this korban. Holchu unisonum mechatsi hakevesh ulamato bimaravo. This line up of Kohanim with their respective portions carried their portions to the ramp and put it on the ramp, on the western side of the ramp, halfway, not more than halfway up the ramp. In other words, they were positioned on the western side of the ramp, on the lower half of the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. Umolchum, they were salted. The Yardu Ubo Lohem Lishkas Agazis, after the limbs were salted, every korban needs to be salted. They then descended from the ramp, and they came to the Lishkas Hagozis, which you can see on the diagram, the Lishkas Hagozis, one of the offices, and Likro Es Shema. And it was there that they recited the morning Shema. At this point, we are about to begin the Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin where we provide a topic heading, a nosei, and we've written Suras Hakshira Shikoshu Bo HaTomid. The Gemara will make reference to the style or method in which the animal, the Tomid Shel Shachar, was tied up. Tana, the Tanaic source, says Yad Voregel Kakedas Yitzchok Ben Avram. As we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, they didn't tie all four legs of the animal together, but rather two and two. The front leg and hind leg of the right side were tied together, and the front leg and hind leg of the left side of the animal were tied together. And that's described as Ke'akedas Yitzchok Ben Avram, similar to the offering of Yitzchok at the at the sacrifice of Yitzchok, as is featured in the Torah. Lo hoyu koifsin esatle. The Mishnah had said that they did not tie together the tle in the tying all four legs together. My taima, why did they avoid doing that? Two approaches, Rav Huna v'Rav Chisda. Chad omar mishum bizoyon kochim. One approach says that it would be a denigration of that of a korban, of a sanctified sacrifice, that's just not respectful to a sacrifice to tie it like that. V'chad omar mishum demahalech b'chukei ho'amim, because that is the way that the idol worshippers tied together the animals that they sacrificed to their deities. My binayu, what's the difference between these two approaches? Is there a case in which there would be a difference? At this point, there is agreement that it is not, one is not to take a rope and tie together all four legs. Why? So we have two reasons. Is there a case in which you would find a practical difference? So the Gemara answers, Iko binayo, there is a case, and the Gemara gives two examples. One, the kafte b'shiroi, where let us say all four legs were tied together, but using shiroi, some type of silk or material that's not mere rope. Hence, there isn't bizoyon, that wouldn't appear denigrating. Inami bechuta de dahava, or it was the four legs were all tied together using a golden type string or golden thread. So again, there would be no bizoyon kachim. There wouldn't be that would not be denigrating, but it does look like the way the idol worshippers offer their sacrifices to their deities. Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source, but before we continue with the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin where we have our topic heading, the Nosei. It says there, Yud Gimel or Shloshesrei Shulchanois Shehoyu Bamikdash. There were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Koilel Eser Shasa Shlomo, not including the 10 Shulchanos that King Solomon, that Shlomo HaMelech, had made. So the source begins. You can see we have a framed section indicating a Tanaic source. There were 13 tables in the Mikdash. Shmoina, Shilshayish, Beveis, Amit Bochayim. There were 8 made of marble in the slaughtering area that was to the north of the Mizbeach. Shalem, Adichim, Esekrevayim. On these 8 tables, they were used for the rinsing of the innards of sacrifices. Shnayim, B'marovo, Shel, Kevesh. There were 2 tables positioned west of the ramp of the Mizbeach. Echod shel shayish ve'echod shel kesef. One was made of marble and the other of silver. Al shel shayish noisim es evorim. On the marble one, the organ, the evorim, the limbs were placed. The al shel kesef kli shoris. And on the silver table, the kli shoris, service vessels, were placed. Uba ulam shnayim mibifnim al pesach habayis. The ulam is the structure that a wide structure that was built as an antechamber to the heichal. And in the ulam, as you entered the ulam, there were immediately on the inside of the ulam, the entrance of the ulam, there were 2 tables. Echod shel kesef ve'echod shel zav. One was made of silver and the other made of gold. There are there's another girsa that suggests instead of silver, shayish, marble. But one was of lesser material and the other of gold, greater value material. Al shel kesef noisnim olav lechem haponim b'knisoso. On the silver table, they would place the lechem aponim, those are the 12 breads, sometimes called the shoe breads, that were positioned in the heichal, on the official shulchan, if you will, the golden shulchan that sat in the heichal chamber itself from week to week. So upon entering, carrying on Shabbos, when they would carry in the new breads, they would place them on this silver table in the ulam to rest a while. V'al shel zahav, the golden table that was positioned here at the ulam entranceway, b'yitzioso, the breads that had been sitting on the inner table for a week would place them on this table to take a break, and they would sit on this golden table until the Bozichin containing the Lavona were offered on the outer Mizbeach. You may recall from previous discussions that on the Shulchan Hazov that sat in the Hecha with the 12 breads stacked in 2 stacks, 6 containing 6 loaves in each stack. So on the table there was also two receptacles called Bozichin that contained the Lavona, and this Lavona incense or spice was offered on the outside Mizbeach every Shabbos. So while the Bozichin were being offered, the 12 breads that were just removed from the table would be placed on this golden table that sat on the inside of the ulam until the Bozichin were offered. Now, why the old breads, the breads that had been sitting on the table on the shulchan of the heichal for a week, why were they placed specifically on a golden table in the at the ulam entranceway? Shemalin b'kodesh v'loy meridin. There's a concept that you when it comes to issues of holiness and sanctity, we always strive to go up, to rise, and not decline, not go down. So that since the 12 breads that had been sitting on the shulchan in the heichal for a week were sitting on a golden table, because the shulchan was coated in gold, the shulchan of the heichal was coated in gold. Now, when the breads are being removed and they have to be placed on a table for this interim period of time while the bozichin are being offered, they cannot be placed on a lesser value type table. Hence, a golden table was provided for this occasion. The echod shel zahav bifnim, and there was one golden table in the heichal itself. Shalav lechem haponim tamid. On that, the 12 loaves of the Lechem Aponim sat on a constant basis. They were changed from week to week, and every week on Shabbos, the 12 loaves were distributed amongst the Kohanim. The Gemara asks, in reference to a marble, we made reference to a marble table. Michti ein anius v'mokom ashirus. There is we strive at all times to show no signs of anius as poverty in a place of opulence of wealth, which was characteristic of the Beis Hamikdash. Amai avdi the shayish. Why was there a marble table, which is essentially a stone type table? Nevdu the kesef o dezov. Should they not have used a more expensive material, whether it be silver or gold? Omar Rav Chinina b'shem Ravasi. Rav Chinina quotes Ravasi. Ravasi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchok. Bitnei shehu marsiach. The shayish that we made reference to before were tables that would be used for holding different animal parts, limbs, and organs. If they were placed on a metallic substance, there would be an increase of heat. Marsiach is literally to boil something up. Being that the limbs themselves were warm, and that their interaction with the metal would cause a type of heating to take place, and it would probably produce some type of rotting effect. Therefore, they chose specifically to use the marble, which is a naturally cold substance, thereby preventing this heat reaction and subsequent rotting. Shel shachar hoya nishchan al keren mizrachis tzfoinis. We mentioned that the slaughtering of the morning daily sacrifice was done at the northeastern corner of the mizbeach. Let us read with more accuracy the Girsa change here that suggests that we read Shel al keren tzfoinis marovis instead of northeastern, which we just read. Northwestern would be more accurate. Mino hani mili. From where do we know that this was its positioning? Omar Achista, the Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Shnayim Layoim. In the context of the Tomid, of the daily sacrifices, it says Shnayim Layoim. And what does that mean? Kineged Hayom. Opposite the point at which the sun is shining. So that if you can imagine, in order to appreciate this Gemara, the sun rises in the east, so that in the early morning hours, the sun, which is in the eastern part of the sky, it's casting its beams of light toward the west. So this pasuk is telling us that the Tomid Shel Shachar and the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, shall be positioned opposite where the sun is shining down. Tanyo Nami Hochim. We have a Tanaic source that explains this point, that the expression Shnayim Layom is a reference to the point on the ground that the sun is shining. So the Brisa says, Shnayim Layom, Keneged Hayom, opposite the sun. Yom is the sun. Ata Oimer Neged Hayom, are you telling me it means opposite the sun, or Eino Ela Choybas Hayom? Or maybe the Pasuk is telling me that every day there shall be two Shnayim, or two daily sacrifices. Maybe that's the point of the Pasuk. It's simply a number source as opposed to a positioning source. So the Brisa answers, Kishu Omer Es Hakeves Echo Tase Baboykev Es Hakeves Hasheni Tase Ben Rabayim. There's a pasuk that says that one sheep you shall do in the morning, and a second sheep you shall do in the afternoon. Harei choyvas hayom omor. That pasuk serves as a source for daily number obligations. Ha'am and mekayim, what am I therefore to do with shnayim layom? What does this phrase teach me? Neged hayom. It teaches me positioning, opposite where the sun shines. Ha ketzat, so how are we to execute this? Tomit Shel Shachar, the morning daily sacrifice, Hayinishchan al Keren Tzfoinis Ma'arovis al Tavas Shnia. It was slaughtered on the northwestern, next to or near the northwestern corner of the Mizbeach, in the ring on the second row. Emphasis here of Shachar, you can see that we emphasize with a double underline the Shachar and Bein HaArbayim. And the Shachar is associated with the Ma'arovis, because the morning daily sacrifice was positioned in a place that the sun would be shining down upon it. So since the sun was coming up in the east, it would cast its beams of light westerly, hence northwestern corner. The Shelbeinu Arbayim, the late afternoon daily sacrifice, when the sun was in the western part of the sky, so it would be casting its beams of light toward the east. Therefore, Nishal Keren Tzfoinis Mizrachis Al Tabashnia, it was slaughtered in the ring on the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, the first ring in the second row. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.